Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, Apple shutters their EV car project, a UK gigafactory, and Musk's bold road to claim. Plus, stay tuned, because later in the show, I'll tell you what VW are saying about the 2024 model year ID4 in the US and accessing that sweet, sweet tax credit money. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Wherever you are in the world, welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information for Wednesday, 28th of February. I'm Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. Patreon supporters do get these shows ad-free. Be like them by clicking on a link in the show notes. Well, Tesla is topping a new brand loyalty ranking. The S&P Global Mobility Automotive Loyalty Awards indicate that 51% of new car purchasers last year remained loyal to the previous car brand they bought. And it was Tesla that led all car makers in owner loyalty, maintaining their position from the same study 12 months before. The electric car giant also saw the highest number of conquest buyers. That is individuals who are switching from another brand. And Nissan stood out for having a big portion of customers return to the same dealership for their next purchase. Now let's talk about Apple halting work on their electric vehicle project. For many years, they denied it was even happening. And then it was an open secret, and after 10 years and some say $10 billion spent, Apple has now discontinued their decade-long project to develop an EV, marking the end of an ambitious endeavor. The announcement will affect 2,000 project employees made internally by the COO, Jeff Williams, and the Vice President, Kevin Lynch. The project was known as the Special Projects Group. It's winding down, team members being moved over to Apple's AI division to work on generative AI. And you've probably got to say, I would say certainly, that a company like Apple, and said it before, regular listeners know I'm very much in the ecosystem, watch, phone, iPad, as of 2 weeks ago, moved over to an iMac as my main content creation tool. My content, my video editing and audio editing, especially when I was working back in radio and full-time, was always on a PC. Whenever I had the option given to me, it would be a PC Mac or a PC desktop. And I'd never, ever, my wife has a MacBook Pro. I've never got on with it. And I just decided that the ecosystem was too attractive in terms of everything joining up, transferring files, airdropping things to myself and replying to texts with a keyboard while I'm working, which will stop me grabbing for my phone 50 times a day. So the phone gets put down. I can just do WhatsApp and iMessage from the keyboard. I'm retraining some muscle memory, I must admit. But so I'm fully in the Apple ecosystem, the point I'm saying. And even I don't think Apple should be doing an EV. I think Apple should be in large language models and generative AI. And if they were doing this 5 or 8 years ago and actually making Siri half useful, then they probably would have another $1 trillion on their market cap than they have, because they could have been so far ahead and it wouldn't be, you know, Google and OpenAI leading the way. And so makes total sense for me for Apple to not be working on a car, because cars are still, I think, you still need to work with a proper manufacturer to actually put the thing together, which they never announced or they never agreed on it that we know of anyway. Hundreds of hardware engineers and car designers, some facing layoffs, some moving within Apple, worked on this for a long time. And it's been discontinued without ever, as far as we know, securing a manufacturing partner, whether it's an automotive partner or just a partner, you know, like they have to make their products already. Similar to Dyson's abandoned EV project. Dyson abandoned theirs very early when they realized that they couldn't sell the car that they wanted to make at the price point that it was coming in at. They made a great EV. And there's two of them on show, I think, at the headquarters. If you go to the Dyson HQ, I think it's in, they've left the cars there. And they're not ashamed of it. And they're proud of saying, we tried it and we failed because we couldn't bring this car in at a reasonable price. Both companies, Apple and Dyson, face challenges beyond the money, and both companies could have carried on funding it. It was more the partnerships, I think, and certainly for Dyson, they had the battery technology. Apple had all the ideas about not having a steering wheel and having full autonomy, but still, I think Apple do very well by staying in their lane, and I was a big Steve Jobs fan. And I like the innovative era of Apple. And I like this era of Apple because it's all just small little incremental improvements and it all just works very nicely and I'm busy and it's all good. Post-project, Apple's strategy will focus on adding tech to vehicles. And again, I think that's a good thing. By focusing on things like CarPlay, despite some resistance from some manufacturers, I've got, you know, I mentioned it a couple of times now, I've got the Polestar 2 about 6 weeks ago, and the Google system inside that is a real revelation for me, living with that after, you know, week in, week out, having it as my daily car and living with that system. It's very, very good. And Apple could be doing something even better. Let's move on. The Volkswagen ID4, the US-made ID4. Now, the ID4 makes up 12% of Volkswagen of America's sales last year. It's got an 82 kilowatt hour battery option and increased power. Now, I'm not sure that the ID4 needed more power. It's not really that kind of vehicle, but it's got the new motors on it that's coming from the VW mothership. Pricing starts at $39,735, but that is for the small battery, 62 kilowatt hours. It's $44,875 for the 82 kilowatt hour battery, excluding destination. It will qualify for the $7,500 federal tax credit, and because the batteries come from SK On, there's the S and the S Plus trims, and the new AP550 motor that VW supply, offering 330 horsepower on those all-wheel drive models, almost 300 miles of range, and even bigger battery, I think, is coming for the Pro S models. Is that the sort of late 80 kilowatt hours that we see in, you know, the ID7 and stuff like that? A big upgrade, of course, is the big infotainment screen. 12.9-inch, the new software, very snappy, very good, very fast. You can manually precondition. Pros and cons to that, but I think it's all very good. Although the base model doesn't come with a bigger screen. They've really ignored the base model ID4. Don't buy it, because all the stuff that was wrong with it's been fixed, but the base model doesn't get the big screen and all the new software, which, VW being VW. Let's move on. Somerset is the new home for Tata's Gigafactory. 4,000 jobs being created. Jaguar Land Rover's parent company will establish their new factory near Bridgewater in Somerset, near the M5. Not a million miles. I'm in Dorset, so not a million miles away from me, but it's not just round the corner. The project is going to be operated by Agratas, that's how I say it, and we'll have 4,000 direct jobs. And, of course, supply chain benefits as well. It'll be a leading hub for EV battery manufacturing in the UK. A subsidiary of Tata Agratas, operating the company's first battery facility outside of India. 40 gigawatt hours annual production, and that is half of what the UK needs for the EVs that will be made here by 2030. It'll supply batteries to Tata and Jaguar Land Rover, with plans to expand production for other uses like commercial two-wheelers and energy storage systems. Tata aims to integrate with the local education communities as well and bring through the next generation of engineers to work in that facility. Great news. Now, BYD is opting out of the US market, they say, but I don't know, I'm skeptical. BYD surpassed Tesla as the world's biggest car maker at the end of last year. EV maker at the end of last year, sorry. And the majority of the sales are in China. Despite their global expansion plan to Europe, BYD said today they have no immediate intentions to enter the US market, according to the executive vice president. Well, you know what? That's what I would say as well if I was at BYD. They are moving into their expansion of their Mexico plant. And many people saying that that is going to be a backdoor into the US. BYD saying, no. Our big facility in Mexico is only going to serve the Mexican domestic market. But, I don't know, once they make their way into North America, I think BYD, we'll wait and see. Hey, there's tariffs for Chinese companies and things like that, but this will be a Mexican company making these cars. BYD's in-house manufacturing and supply is 75% internal, in-house. 75% of parts and components is from BYD. So vertically integrated. Enormously impressive what they do. Amazon and the Rivian partnership continues. And we now get to find out, thanks to a filing, that Amazon spent $823 million in Rivian's electric vans last year and integrating them into their delivery fleet. That just goes to show how important the Amazon deal is to Rivian. It's 20% of their business, and it highlights the contribution Amazon made, not only as a shareholder, an investor, but buying the vans as well. An overall increase in spending on Rivian vans happened last year. Amazon's revenue contribution to Rivian was sharply less in the last quarter, which explains some of the negativity around the Q4 results. But anyway, huge investment from Amazon, and they're buying the vehicles from them as well. Let's talk a little bit about Elon Musk claiming that the new Tesla Roadster will go 0 to 60 in under a second. It was meant to do 0 to 60 in 1.9 seconds. Of course, this is the Tesla Roadster that is known as the 2017 Roadster. So if you look at internal Tesla documents, when they talk about the Roadster, but they want to talk about this one, it's Roadster, parentheses, 2017. And it's a reminder that this car is 6 years out of date. The Rimac Nevera holds the record for the quickest acceleration with road tyres, 1.74 seconds, 0 to 60 on legal road legal tyres. To outperform the Nevera, the Roadster would require more wheel torque, more grip, more less weight, a lighter build, refined software. There's many reasons to be sceptical about this. The Tesla Roadster development has had zero public progress since the announcement. It is the very definition of vaporware. The car does not exist in the public domain at all. Tesla's Cybertruck, in comparison, does exist, but it underdelivered on every possible metric. Its performance promises, its range, its price for that range. There's nothing about the Cybertruck that came in and exceeded expectations. It was all a massive disappointment, and that's unfortunate because the vehicle's actually pretty interesting and some good stuff happening around the Cybertruck, but the promises were not kept. So why do we think that any promises will be kept around the Roadster? And why do we think that there's any possible reason to develop a car that will do that? Now, there is a world record holder of a custom-built car by a group of students that has, it weighs nothing. It's got, it's custom designed to do one thing, and that's go from 0 to 60 to 0 again. And they can just about get under a second with one single person in it. But it's brutal and dangerous. But also, listen, between you and me, it's BS, isn't it? And it's interesting this week how breathless the media got at this. And it just goes to show that, you know, Elon Musk hasn't lost his touch at being able to wave that magic wand and have people write about the lies. And not just the mainstream press, because I get that the mainstream press, their business model is clicks. And they know that saying Elon Musk will, and also he said, by the way, this year that we'll see it, and next year it will be on the market, which is nonsense. Not only the mainstream media did it and reported it breathlessly, because that's their business model. They need clicks and eyeballs, and people will read it. People in the car industry, people who are just surfing the net. Right? So I get it. But the motoring press and the EV motoring press, people I respect highly as writers, couldn't wait to report this. And almost none of them stopped to go, it's just not true. Physically, you won't be able to do it. And you won't be able to make this vehicle. The Roadster's never coming anyway, is it? Let's face it. But to say it's going to go 0 to 60 in less than a second, it's going to be made with SpaceX, it's going to fly, and it's going to float and have rocket boosters, it's all just peak Elon at his worst. And it frustrates me, because peak Elon at his best, old Elon, when he was with Tesla, not with Twitter, and before he became sort of this political animal, like that Elon could inspire people and make people, you know, sort of jump through kind of hoops really and create these amazing products that all of the vehicles are. And then you see what happens as he gets less and less interested in Tesla. Well, the Cybertruck comes out. That's the result of him getting bored, I think. He wants a new shiny toy and he's playing with Twitter. And is the Roadster ever going to arrive? Well, maybe it will, but 0 to 60 in 100 is... 0 to 60 in a second, it's a pointless thing to say, and it's a pointless thing to report. And I'm probably the only person saying it's just nonsense. It's just not going to happen. Anyway, it happened a few days ago, and I've just been sitting on that story. I'm not going to talk about it. Okay, well, I should probably report it and give you my opinion, and then you can respectfully say, you are wrong, podcast boy. I believe Elon Musk. And that would be fine. We can be friends and disagree. EV manufacturing is on the way next, and we will talk about electric trucks in California. Stick around. Well, if you like to remove the ads, and maybe you heard no ads, lucky you. Yeah, but if you heard an ad, or maybe two, hopefully not the same one. It's happened a little bit recently. I've had listeners go, hey, the same ad played twice, and that shouldn't happen. I contact my host. They go, no, it's about IP addresses, and we have these non-repeat things, and that'll never happen. Listeners told me it did, which is a bit of a rubbish experience, isn't it? Let's face it, as a listener, even though you can just skip forward. Then if you'd like to skip all of that, then you can sign up to Patreon, patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. You haven't got to, by the way, it's totally optional, but it would be amazing if you even had a look at the link. Now, let's talk a little bit about EV manufacturing, and battery manufacturers are actively securing graphite supplies from outside China aggressively following recent changes in US rules, mitigating shortages just as the global EV adoption rises. Graphite is crucial for EV batteries. It's 99% of the anode, maybe a bit less, but around that, of the anode material in lithium-ion batteries, largest component by mass. And currently, China dominates the graphite market, makes over 70% of the world's supply and 90% of the lithium-ion battery anodes. The US Inflation Reduction Act incentivizes battery makers to on-source production into the United States and from non-foreign entities of concern, aka China. Companies like NexSource Materials becoming key players in the EV battery industry, looking to comply with the IRA regulations and provide graphite from non-China sources. Interesting, isn't it? And the NFI are rolling out electric truck fleets and charging in Southern California. NFI introduces the 38-port electric truck charging depot and maintenance facility as well to support Southern California's logistics sectors. It's 50 new electric trucks from Volvo and Daimler, part of the Joint Electric Truck Scaling Initiative, aimed at boosting EV truck use, especially in communities most affected by pollution. The project's phase two follows the opening of a 32-port charging depot by Schneider back in June last year, marking continued efforts to expand electric freight transportation. Now, the charging capabilities at the depot are 350-kilowatt DC fast chargers and a total capacity of a 7-megawatt charging depot across all the ports. The electric truck fleet will feature models from Freightliner's eCascadia and Volvo's VNR electric vehicles. Plans include the addition of solar power and battery storage to the depot, with 1 megawatt of solar and 8 megawatt hours of battery storage to be installed later this year. We love to hear stories like this because, I say it all the time, there are a small amount of vehicles, some 80-20 rule, a small amount of vehicles that create the most pollution. And the quicker we can do commercial vehicles like this, it's going to make all the difference. I'm so excited. So excited. And that's your podcast for today. Thanks to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village of Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Derek Riley from Nevo.ie and the Nevo EV Review Island YouTube channel. Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map, and Lease Plan Electric Moments. All the tools and guidance that EV drivers need. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.